WildTalkRadio.com.
Alright, it's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, he's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
We are on the road to WrestleMania, y'all. This Sunday, WrestleMania, live on the WWE Network. This was the go-home to WrestleMania, which is featuring multiple triple threat matches at this year's WrestleMania. Backlash. This is the Raw Post Show, presented always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', that's Lindsay Ward.
Hey, it was the go-home show. Woo! To WrestleMania! Backlash.
Backlash.
Because branding.
Can we just call it Backlash?
No. No, we have to brand it as WrestleMania. Backlash.
Backlash.
It's sexier, Rock.
Is it sexier?
To say it's WrestleMania Backlash? Because, I mean, we all know it's just going to be a rehash of WrestleMania anyway, so just call it like it is. I don't have a problem with that. Does anybody else have a problem with that?
So if it's a rehash of WrestleMania, does the Thing get put back in the box and we crank again? Or we just put him back in the box and...
He's missing. He's just missing. That's all. Like, she just disappeared with him, and we have no idea where he went or what happened to him or... anything. He's MIA. And the other personality is, I guess, out getting drunk. I don't know. But it's really upsetting to me.
So the big thing coming out of this show was an apparent injury to Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah, he landed really awkwardly on the outside in his match with Sheamus. And I hope it's nothing serious, but they ended up having to, like, call the match.
So what he tried to do was a sunset flip over the ropes, and he landed on Sheamus. And Sheamus landed on Humberto.
Humberto hit the floor awkwardly, and then Sheamus landed right on top of him. So I think at the very least it knocked the wind out of him. But yeah, that did not look or feel good at all, so hopefully he's okay.
Could be a knee injury, could be a leg injury of some kind. We don't know, but the referee did a quick 10 count, I guess. And just waved off the match. Sheamus got the win. It wasn't the best thing for it. So hopefully Humberto is okay. And we'll see what happens from there. But he had a U.S. It was a non-title match against Sheamus, because Sheamus is not defending the title for whatever reason just yet. So maybe if he's okay, they do the rematch on Sunday. We'll have to see. And I think that's probably where it was going to lead to, is Humberto winning, and then they do the match Sunday. So plans may have to change there. We'll see.
We will have to see. So, well, I mean, hopefully he's okay.
We brought up Bray Wyatt. The other half was Alexa Bliss, and she appeared on this show during the Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka, Mandy Rose, and Dana Brooke match. She appeared, and she was swinging along, and she was keeping an eye on someone. And there was something weird about the finish. Like, Shayna's knee gave out, I guess? Like, at some point? After she did the backbreaker on Dana, like, I guess that's what happened.
I don't know exactly what happened. I didn't even see what happened. Like, she was, like trying to, like, get the tag from Nia. And then, like, I looked down for a second, and then it was, like, the match was over. So I'm not even sure how this ended. I couldn't tell you, but it was very, very strange. And it led to, like, Charlotte getting out of the ring and looking at Alexa, and Alexa was laughing, and, like, everybody was kind of like, WTF is going on.
So did Lily play a part in it?
Lily may have played a part in it, because she was on the swing set next to Alexa.
I think that's what happened. Like, she stopped her with the magics, where she couldn't move, because it was like, she didn't land weird or anything. It was just, she was, like, stuck in place, allowing the good girls to win. I don't know. It was...
I'm not sure, yeah, what it was or what happened. It was very strange, and I think at this point it's just there. I mean, I hate to say this, but I've really kind of lost interest in this, just because it's been, like, there's... And part of it is really, I'm just still very sour about WrestleMania and how they ended WrestleMania, and how they really just moved on with absolutely no further explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond Lily didn't like him, so I guess Lily was the one that screwed the Fiend, and we just don't know where he is or what happened to him when, and Bray has disappeared as well, but Alexa's there and she's doing the thing with the creepy doll, and she's been cutting promos with the creepy doll. Like, the stuff around it's been really good, but it's just like, at this point I'm just not interested in it. It just doesn't really do anything for me.
There's no hook for you with it right now.
There's no hook. Like, they're just starting the story, so we'll see if it hooks me. But, like, there's just after, you know, 3 weeks of promos, and then, like, we just don't know what's going on. I just can't get into it or get interested in it. It's just like, oh, okay, all right, it's the creepy doll, yay. Because I hate the doll, too. I hate the doll. I don't enjoy it at all.
She's not a fan of the doll, no.
I can do the puppets. Like, the puppets are fine, but, like, the creepy doll with the skull teeth, no. No, I'm not with that. At all. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see where we're going. Alexa's clearly targeting somebody in the women's division, which overall is good to get her back into the division and wrestle, because she has not wrestled in a while.
Since January.
Yeah. So it will be good to get her back in the ring. And I think part of that, they're trying to make her more of a special attraction when she wrestles, to help get a little bit more longevity out of her.
Because she's had some concussion issues in the past. So what they're doing, letting her be a character, is keeping her relevant, keeping her on television, and also saving the bump card.
Yeah.
So the women were not done for a night. Charlotte apparently walked into Sonya's office, gave her an idea, and they set up a match between Asuka and Rhea, you know, so they can wear each other down before the big match on Sunday. You had Charlotte on commentary, and Rhea got the win. Clean.
Yeah, this was a good match. Very enjoyable.
Very good stuff.
It kind of gives me worries for Sunday, but we'll talk about that Thursday.
Damian Priest and John Morrison battled. They were both in Pierce's office, and Pierce set up the stipulation. Whoever wins this match gets to decide the stipulation for Sunday between Miz and Damian Priest. Damian Priest wins. He chose Lumberjack. It was very interesting.
I mean, I hate to say this, because, like, this was actually a really good match that was very enjoyable, but the problem is I've seen Damian Priest versus Morrison, Damian Priest versus Miz, like, 20 times now. And it's always good, but it's just like, I'm just not into that anymore. Because when you just see it over and over and over and over and over again, like, it's good that Damian Priest got the win, but I'm a little sad because he had a lot of momentum coming out of WrestleMania, and they have seemingly just not capitalized on it at all.
He's been 50-50 with Miz and Morrison at this stage. So hopefully come Sunday at WrestleMania Backlash, they finish off that story and move both parties onto different things. What also didn't help is Damian has no partner, so it's always Damian in those matches. If you had a partner going against Miz and Morrison, you could get some more legs out of the build.
Get Bad Bunny back.
Bad Bunny's busy.
Unbusy him and get him back.
He's busy.
Unbusy him.
You can't just unbusy someone.
Clear his schedule.
He's a very big deal. He's very important. He's doing many different things.
Okay. Clear his schedule. Bring him back. Have him be with Damian. They were a great couple. Duo. Whatever.
Shelton Benjamin beat Cedric Alexander. First. This is like Shelton's second win on Raw in like years. I don't remember the year. I saw the stat online and I can't remember who tweeted it out, but it's like it's been multiple years since Shelton has got a real win on Raw. It may have been from like 2008 or something. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
We had more with Angel Garza and Drew Gulak, and more things about shoving roses somewhere. This time it was going to be down the throat.
Well, at least it's slightly less awkward than at the butt. But yeah, I mean, this was fine. This was good. You're doing something with Angel. You're doing something with Drew. I'm still not a fan of shoving the whole rose up the butt or seeing it. Like, that seems entirely unnecessary, but what do I know?
So, we've been looking for characters and everything on this show to really sink your teeth into. The brought back Jinder Mahal with Veer
and friends.
With Veer and Shanky.
No, that is not his name.
That is his name.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
Shanky.
That is so unfortunate.
Shanky.
Can someone help him with that, please? Like, in terms of, like, the name pool, that's just...
Shanky.
Shanky. That's, like, a comedy skit in the future.
Jinder beat Jeff Hardy.
They found Jeff Hardy.
He's back after dealing with the loss of his father. So, hopefully they have do something with Jeff, because Jeff is very talented and very popular and would be awesome for live crowds when they do return this summer.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see Jeff back, and that he's doing okay after the loss of his father, so that's always good to see. But yeah, I hope they do something with him, because I think Raw, and this is not a slight to anybody on that show, but I think Raw needs more star power than what it has, and Jeff Hardy is a name for sure.
For sure. When you're in a crowd with a crowd, he always gets the reaction. Always.
And he's someone that if you need to move him into title contention, you can really easily do that. He's a former champion on every level, so it's not difficult. So yeah, it's good to see Jeff back.
So we learned something tonight. We were educated by Matt Riddle. He was talking with the New Day backstage, and he filled out a official registration form. So him and Randy are now an official tag team.
Oh, God.
He also was laughing about how Randy took a tomato to the head, and Randy was not happy. Randy only finds things funny of ending careers, saying things funny, and kicking people in the head. We learned during the match that there is no such thing as an official tag team registration form. Corey Graves would know. He's been a former tag team champion.
Then what did Riddle fill out?
A goof by the New Day.
Oh, dear. That's unfortunate.
Also, AJ won at No Tomatoes. As it was an 8-man tag, New Day, Randy, Riddle versus AJ, Almost, Elias, and Jackson Riker, which New Day's team won.
Hey! I mean, this was fine. It was pretty much the entire tag division to date. Although we did see a teaser for a new and improved Lucha House Party as well.
We did. Randy hit the RKO and Elias got the win. And then he dropped New Day with RKOs, and Matt Riddle goes, "You can't be doing that to people. We'll have no friends."
Matt, honey, Randy doesn't have friends. He doesn't believe in them. Go talk to Bray Wyatt if you can find him about his friendship with Randy Orton and where that has led.
So the whole setup of the show to the main event was MVP was trying to persuade Braun Strowman into working with him to take out Drew McIntyre before Sunday, because they don't want Drew McIntyre in the match on Sunday. By the way, if you're a Drew McIntyre fan, check out the Rack Extra right now, where we interview him and review his new book, A Chosen Destiny, now available.
Ding.
So that was the theme throughout the show, setting it all up to your main event, which was Drew McIntyre and Lashley 1-on-1 in a non-title match. It's Drew and Lashley. They can't have a bad match. Drew hits the Claymore after escaping the Hurt Lock, which was never set in fully. And then Braun Strowman's music played. Strowman jumped him from behind, laid him out. Strowman would then get face-to-face with Lashley. Lashley hugs him. He dropped him with a power slam. Dropped McIntyre with a power slam. Went head-to-head with MVP, and then drove Lashley through the barricade and dropped McIntyre one more time.
Oh my God, the match didn't end with a clean finish. Oh no, whatever will we do?
What a shocker. What a shocker, y'all. What a shocker.
I mean, this was good. Like you said, they can't have a bad match. I felt like it was a little... I don't like when they do this, basically, when they're like, oh, we have like a three-way... Or we have, you know, whatever, like, we're going to have a multi-man and we're going to take two of the people and put them in a match on the go-home to have them fight. Like, I hate this because I feel like you're giving part of the match away for free.
Well, you are. But yeah, I understand that point. But so that was Raw.
That was Raw. It was...
Oh, one other thing. We had another teaser for Eva Marie, Brent's favorite. Remember to tweet him. All read everything.
Actually, she's the super... role model.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another role model that might have a problem with that. We'll have to see.
We will have to see. But yeah, Raw was fine. It was the thing that Raw is missing right now, and This is the opposite of SmackDown. There's no gripping story.
I think for me, I need to get lost in something. I want to get lost. And that's why it's like I keep complaining about why Bray Wyatt is not on TV. Because for me, it's very easy to get lost in Bray stories. Because I always enjoy the mystery of how they write them. Because you can tell he's very heavily involved in what he does. Because there is a plan and there is a very like succinct story in how they tell it, everything. And also, I'm going to be real. I'm really sort of just over everybody being a guy or just a girl. Like, if you've noticed, and I noticed it tonight, everybody is just either themselves or generic person A or generic person B or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with being yourself. But when you have everybody being themselves and you have no characters that really like stand out, with the exception of maybe like Matt Riddle, because he's just so outlandishly in your face about things, that it's just all the same thing over and over and over again. And I really wish that there were more characters and there were more out of the box type individuals. It's like Alexa stands out because she's doing the out of the box character, but it's just kind of tiresome because right now there's just no story with it. Because they had her in a 6-month story and now they just really abruptly ended that story with not a lot of explanation and now they're moving her into another one. And so we'll see what goes on there. But yeah, I think that's my problem with like Raw versus SmackDown, because SmackDown, you have people who are being themselves, but they're also being characters. It's like Roman is being a character while also being himself. And that helps him stand out a little bit more. Seth is the same way. Seth's doing this really outlandish cult leader type character.
But you could tell he's because he's buying into the character he's trying to sell. And the people on Raw aren't not necessarily believing in the characters. They're just very simple and straightforward, and there's no gripping story or real story behind it. SmackDown, at least they're giving you a personal story.
Yeah, and so I think that's my problem with Raw overall, is it's just, for me, it's fine, it's good, but just sitting here watching it, there's nothing gripping. It's like I could go watch anything on Netflix again, and I would almost prefer in some instances to go watch something else on Netflix versus then sit here and watch 3 hours of Raw, because realistically, I could get everything I need in regards to 3 hours of Raw off the YouTube reel when they put out the highlights.
And the thing with it is, they need a crowd. Raw desperately needs a crowd.
I don't think Raw desperately needs
a crowd.
It
does, though, because at least with that, they'll be forced to tell those stories. With SmackDown, you have 1 hour and 10 minutes to tell a story. It's not that long.
Charlotte's trying something, but I don't think Charlotte's really, it's not really working, because it's just essentially, it's the over-articulated heel Charlotte Flair promos that she's done in the past. It's the same heel character that Charlotte always does, where it's, I'm Charlotte Flair, I'm better than everybody else, I'm the opportunity, look at me, look at how great, look at how fabulous I am. The only thing that's really truly interesting about it is the stuff with Sonya and how that relationship functions and how she even established it in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because we don't really know how Charlotte and Sonya sort of hooked up with each other. We just know that they are working together and Charlotte has a person of authority in her back pocket to sort of counteract Adam Pearce and get around Adam Pearce so she could get what she wants. Beyond that, it's just, there's nothing really attractive or interesting about it, because again, it's just, it's heel Charlotte. And it's like, okay. I mean, if it helps that she makes you want to punch her in the face, so she's doing her job very well, but I mean, it's just, it's not anything like, this is groundbreaking, I've never seen this before, this is, I have to sit down and watch this every week. And that's the thing for me that is, I'm just struggling with right now, is that there is nothing about this show that it's like, I have to sit here and watch it every week. I have to see it every week when it's live.
And that's the thing where a live audience helps, because you can gauge a natural reaction to what's working and what's not. And just, and I know it's different for you because you don't always watch it with sound, but the general reaction of like a Charlotte Flair promo right now, if you actually heard a real boos, would elevate the show and make it more interesting, because it's a natural reaction. And some of the characters they have, the comedy they try and everything. You're just missing the natural reaction and feel to the product. And when you're writing a 3-hour show, you need more than just solid wrestling in the ring. You need live fan reaction to compel you to move the story along, because it's easier for the boys and the girls to work off of the natural reaction instead of the video screen. And I know it's the pandemic. I know we're coming out of it. It just, 1 3-hour of wrestling on a Monday night is too long. But there's nothing me, Lindsay, or anyone else can do to change that, because that's what USA Network's paying for. That's what they want. It fills every checkbox on their sheet right now, where they earn the money, they make the money, they sell it to the advertisers, advertisers are happy, ratings are fine-ish. They're still number one on cable on Mondays. And it needs it. And you need, wrestling needs a crowd. We've sat through the studio show for a year. We gotta get this show back in the front of a crowd, because it's a struggle, as Lindsay mentioned, to get through the show and to just get something to grip you. Like, we can watch all the great wrestling we want, because no one's knocking the wrestling that's on these shows, but you can find great wrestling everywhere during the week. There's so much content. You need those compelling stories on Raw, on NXT, on SmackDown, on Dynamite. Everywhere you go, you need those compelling stories to keep you hooked in, mainly for WWE without a crowd. We're hooked on NXT because there is somewhat of a crowd. You get the general reaction, and they're telling good stories.
Well, I think what helps with NXT is NXT has characters, right? Like, you have Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux, whatever name you want to use,
mm-hmm.
that are essentially normal people, but they're rooted in kind of this spooky sort of occult vibe to them that makes them interesting. You have the whole Dexter Lumis, Indy Hartwell situation. You have The Way, who it's just Johnny, Candace, Austin, and Indy being themselves, but being like over the top, outlandish, in your face, just ridiculousness that's entertaining, or that it works, it clicks. And then it's like the whole Index stuff is just great, because you have Dexter Lumis, right, who is this creepy psycho stalker dude who may or may not be a serial killer, we have no idea, in this love angle with Indy Hartwell, who doesn't know any better, who just thinks he's hot, and we're all shipping it, because we're like, yeah, girl, get you some. He's creepy, but get you some. You might be able to reform him. Like, it's that kind of stuff where it's like the writing for NXT, and granted, they're writing for a 2-hour show, but it's like the characters that they're using on NXT TV are interesting. They're engaging. They have stories. They have all these different things to them where they're incorporating them into the actual physical storylines themselves, versus Raw, where it's like everybody is just a person. Nobody really has a story, like a side story or anything like that, or character development. It's just, this is person A taking on person B in this match, and they're going to fight for X reason. And that's it. There's no, like I said, the most interesting person on Raw to me right now is Matt Riddle, because he's just that outlandish. Because he just refuses to be anything but.
Which is fantastic.
Which is fantastic.
He's being him.
And I feel like if we had more of that on Raw, that would help. Because that would help you connect to characters. That would help you connect to people. It's like, you know, everybody just cannot be themselves, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Unless it's just like really, really, really good. Sometimes you have to put on a little bit of a character. You just can't rest on your laurels, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think, I agree that wrestling would be beneficial to a crowd, but this has been a criticism of the pandemic era overall, is that the writing has never been able to shift, or has never wanted to shift, to stop trying to play to a crowd, because that's what they've been doing for over a year, is trying to play to an invisible crowd that is not there, and it's not working. And they just have not been able to adjust that product to not be in front of a crowd. It's like the whole stuff of running around throwing tomatoes at people. That would go over great in front of a crowd. People would laugh. People would think it's hilarious, but without a crowd, it looks stupid. Kicking a rose up somebody's butt. That would be great.
That would be still stupid.
That would still be stupid, but it would get a pop from the crowd,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But here it looks really stupid, because there's just TV screens and a delayed reaction, and it might not be or it's a taped reaction. They're just pumping the noise in. We don't know. But it's like you're trying to play to an invisible crowd that's going to be on a delay anyway. And it's just, to me, it just doesn't work. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Part of me almost at this point wants just a soap opera. Like, I think I've hit that stage with wrestling where it's like, yeah, you know, the wrestling's great and everything, but I want the story. I want something interesting. I want to get lost in something. I want characters to be interested in and get lost in.
Wrestling is good when it's good versus evil and the stories are compelling. Right now, Raw doesn't have the good versus evil that are giving you compelling stories. It's just a bunch of dudes fighting a bunch of dudes. And that's it.
Yeah. And it's like, even Rhea, like, poor Rhea, they've just, like, completely watered her down. And they had a chance with her, and I feel like they just dropped the ball with her coming out of Mania 2. Like, that's my criticism of it. It's like, coming out of WrestleMania, I feel like there was just a lot of momentum that's been lost. Because they came out of WrestleMania really, really strong and in a really good position, and they just, on Raw at least, they have not capitalized.
The problem was, WrestleMania felt really, really good, because it was the first sense of normalcy we've seen in a year from WWE. Now that we're back to not what the normal was, we're stuck in that pattern again. And hopefully, as we get through the summer and there's more important events other than WrestleMania Backlash, because hopefully with Money in the Bank coming up and other shows, and they soon to learn, hey, we're going back on the road in August, the product fixes itself.
Maybe. We'll see.
It's a long road till then. And we'll suffer through it with all you every single week.
Unless I have enough and I just really do go watch Netflix. Which could happen.
Could.
I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to be honest. Because it's like I said, there's no difference between me watching it live and me watching it tomorrow on demand.
Other than the Raw Potion live every Monday night. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ding. We have other ideas we may do too. We'll see.
We'll see.
But available right now. The Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Season 2, Episode 19. Download it now. Around noon tomorrow, you can download our interview with Renee Paquette. That's exciting.
We're previewing Messy in the Kitchen, her brand new cookbook, which comes out May 18th. You'll definitely want to check that out once it drops.
Around noon tomorrow, you can check that out. You can also check out our interview with Drew McIntyre as he talks about The Chosen Destiny, which is now available. Go buy that book as well. We'll be live.
There's an audio version in case you're curious.
Thanks to PW Torch for an awesome write-up about it. That was awesome. Big shout-outs. We'll be live. We'll be live Thursday night for the Rack, though.
Yes, we will. Tune in, because we are previewing WrestleMania Backlash. And we'll do news, notes, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Remember, all podcasts are available on The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher, Saturday Night, Midnight Edition, Another Edition, CB Radio, CBLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Before that, we'll be Fortnite with Friends. Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio returns to review WrestleMania Backlash. And we'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. That Wild Talk Radio is facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Lens M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop. Because we are
Epic Partners.
At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsport, LNSWRD.
I surprise her with the plug every single time. It's amazing. This has been the Raw Post Show presented by, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. Check out Renee Paquette interview, the Drew McIntyre interview, and so much more. Along the Airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right back here next Monday night for the Raw Post, 11 p.m. Eastern. Along the Airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.